Okay, shall we start with a pray? Lord Jesus, I thank you and praise you for that love, that grace, and that mercy that you've revealed to us, Lord Jesus. Each of us individually and personally. Lord, I ask that you fill my mouth with your words and my heart with your passion. Lord, that I might glorify your name this morning. Amen. I do have a video I'm going to need playing later on.
What from?
On the PC. It's a website video thing. Right, 1 Corinthians, or as I put here, Corinthians 15 and verse 1. Now I want to make clear to you, brothers and sisters, the gospel that I preach to you, that you received and on which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I passed on to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as though to one born at the wrong time, he appeared also to me. For I am the last of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me has not been in vain. In fact, I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is the way we preach, and this is the way we believed. That was 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. 1 to 11. Sorry? I still didn't hear that. 3 to 11. Oh, right, okay, sorry. That's the basis of our faith. That's where it all starts. It's the gospel of salvation. Jesus died on the cross for all our sin, all our errors, all our mistakes, all our pain, all our hurt, all our rejection. And he rose again on the third day. So he's alive today in this place, dwelling within each of us, not as an ideology, but as a living being, dwelling with us every moment of every day. We've all been through those four steps. We felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit about how we lived, about who we were. We've made the choice and chosen to follow Jesus, to walk the other way. We've been through the waters of baptism. We've each of us been buried with Jesus. There's one or two here that haven't actually, so. but most of us have been through the waters of baptism. We've been buried with Jesus in the waters of baptism. And we've been raised with him from those same waters. And we've been baptized with fire. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, which brings to life, all the love, all the power of Jesus through his Spirit. And it is through this relationship, this intimate, personal relationship, that each of us, when we cry, when we pray, cry, Abba, Daddy, Dad. That each of us, as we wake each morning, know that we are his daughter, we are his son, we are his family. In the last few weeks, I've mentioned several times that our outreach to the community isn't about what we say or about what we do. It's about who we are. So I thought I'd start this morning just by reminding us who we are. The world has a way of filling our minds and our hearts with stuff. The church can have a way of filling of our minds with knowledge and understanding. And somehow the simplicity of that relationship becomes distant, becomes complicated. So I just would like everyone to start remembering, to remember that conviction you felt that led you to choose to walk a different way, to remember that first meeting, that first moment when you realized that Jesus did rise on the third day, not because it says so in Scripture, but because you've met him, because you've experienced him, because you know he's alive. Remember your baptism, if you've been through it. What did Jesus say at your baptism? Think back and remember that moment in your Christian walk, in your relationship with Jesus, that key moment which holds you to him, that always puts a smile on your face as you remember. That moment he answered your prayer. Those times he held you and comforted you. This is who we are. This is who we are. No longer of this world, but reborn as children of God, sons and daughters, heirs to his kingdom. Not a kingdom of flesh, but a kingdom of spirit and power. John 3, verse 5. Jesus answered, I tell you solemnly, unless a person is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. For what is born of the flesh is flesh, what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must all be born from above. Our heavenly Father is spirit, so we are spirit. We may be dwelling in a body of flesh that we got from our earthly fathers, but we have been reborn and are children of our heavenly Father. He is spirit, so we are spirit. It is this relationship, this spiritual life, not the physical life we see, not the physical life we enjoy. It is this spiritual life that defines us, that makes us who we are, and defines what we do in our body. with our body. Corinthians 14 verse 1 says, pursue love and be eager for the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. What's the purpose of the spiritual gifts? To edify, build up the church. This is not a relationship that just happens. That's okay. I've prayed the prayer, I've had the water, and now I'm a Christian and I'm a child of God, and it doesn't just happen. What relationship have in your life have you not had to work at? And everyone says, oh, my mum and dad didn't have a choice. I had to live in their house. But I don't know about you, what your mum and dad was like, but I had to really work at the relationship with my mum and dad, particularly when I got to teenage. Then, you know, you have to work at relationships. My mother was constantly turning around to me and saying, that's cupboard love. If you're doing that because you want something in return, that's cupboard love. That's not real love. I had to really work to get her respect. I had to really work at that relationship. And you look at any of the children in this church and the way they're looking at their parents, they are working at that relationship. They want their parents' pride. They want their parents' love. They're really working at it. No relationship exists without the hard work, the hard yards. You have to put it in. And yet somehow we think we can come along to church, sing a few songs, and it's job done. There are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. There are different results, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. To each person, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the benefit of all. One person is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, another the message of knowledge according to the same Spirit, another faith by the same Spirit, another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, another the performance of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discernment of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. It is one and the same Spirit distributing as he decides to each person, who produces all these things. Our problem with our relationship with our Heavenly Father is it's a spiritual relationship. That's our problem. But I'm going to go, I've got a list of five things here which gives us difficulties with that relationship. Number one, Father. For many of us, that's the obstacle. Most of us don't know what a father is. And for those of us, and for some of us, the word father is a totally negative word. And turns us right off, because most of the problems in our lives come from that word, from the person who filled that role. It's a word that means rejection. It's a word that means abuse. It's a word that means distance and anger. A second problem is that if it's spiritual, it's invisible. We can't see it, we can't feel it, we can't taste it, we can't touch it. And because of that, it requires faith. I've got to believe it's there. I've got to believe it's real. Faith then gives us a problem. Why does faith give us a problem? Because so often, faith looks like stupidity. I'm standing in faith, brother, and everyone else is walking out of the flood before they drown. You know, faith can look like stupidity. And underlying all of that is what if he doesn't respond? What if he rejects me, just like everyone else has? And God knows that I deserve it. And that's the foundation of our problem. And the problem with our relationship with God is that there's only one way for us to walk forward in that relationship. And I don't care how close a relationship we've got with God, it can always go deeper. And going deeper always requires the same thing. Okay, God, I'll trust you. I'll take the chance. I'll take the risk, and I'll trust you. You have to be prepared to leap off that cliff. You have to be prepared against all your intuition, against all your experience, all your understanding of the world. You have to be prepared to leap off the cliff, or you will never get to know your heavenly dad. For me, I can remember distinctly the first time I had a real relationship with Jesus. And I can remember every part of my body fighting with that emotion. I can remember the fear in me causing my heart to beat fit to burst out of my chest. My mouth was dry, my hands were clammy. And when I put my hand up and I said, "Me, Lord, I want that personal relationship with you," I had to fight every muscle in my body that was fighting against it. That's how it started, that first intimate, real relationship with God. Since then, every step I've made has been a battle. When I prayed in tongues is ridiculous. Speak gibberish, lots of gibberish pouring out of your mouth, like, I won't go there, but loads of gibberish. Meaningless, means nothing at all to me. So I used to do it on the toilet. I used to do it in my room at night. I used to do it in... because it looks and feels stupid. But then as I did it, I started to recognize sounds repeating. I started to recognize the pattern of language. And I grew in confidence. Throughout my Christian walk with the Lord, since I was, I don't know, how old were we, 18? Throughout that time, tongues is something which has taken me straight back into my dad's lap. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to feel right. I just let that gibberish flow out of my mouth. And immediately, straight away, he is there. I can be in fear. I can be incapable of putting a sensible sentence together. I let that gibberish fall out of my mouth. And immediately, I'm back in his arms. Straight away. It has been such a power and a release in my life. Every step of the way, as I've gone deeper with the Lord, it has taken that kind of overcoming fear. All the spiritual gifts are like that. You think, oh, word of knowledge, that's easy. I'll know something other people don't. which is easy until you're given a word of knowledge, and then you realize, what if I'm wrong? What if I'm about to say is just stupid and everyone's going to laugh at me? What if it's going to insult someone and they're going to attack me? None of the spiritual gifts are easy. I remember a story. This was in New York, this happened. There was a messianic church on the upper floor in a very, very Jewish area of New York. And the Jews in that area, the Orthodox Jews, were quite aggressively against these messianic Jews on the first floor. And one night they were holding their meeting on the first floor, and there was a knock at the door, then the door was smashed in, and these guys started charging up the stairs, and they had baseball bats in their hands. And the guy who's telling the story came out onto the landing at the top of the stairs, and he was watching this guy coming up the stairs fighting with one of his people on the stairs who was just trying to block his way. And he said, straight away, he said, I knew I had to pray in tongues, so I prayed in tongues. And all this gibberish poured out of his mouth. No idea what he was saying. The guy at the front froze. The color drained from his face, and his weapon was dropped, and he collapsed on the stairs. This guy couldn't believe it. Didn't understand what was happening. He had no idea what he was saying. It turns out he was speaking ancient Hebrew, and he'd just told this guy his life story in ancient Hebrew and told him that Jesus is the Messiah and the Son of God, and he needs to turn to Jesus and receive his forgiveness. And he had no idea what he'd said. The power of God is in our faith. If we don't believe that God will, God won't. And his power won't be released in our life. In order for us to believe, in order for that power to be released, we've got to be willing to be stupid. There's only one way. It's like riding a bicycle. I learnt to ride a bicycle when I was that high, like most of us did. And like most of us, I've got the cuts and bruises to prove I learnt to ride a bicycle. Because that's how you learn to ride a bicycle. You fall off it. And you fall off it until you learn how to miss the ground. And then you can ride a bicycle. And it's like that with God. You step out and you make mistakes and you get it wrong. And sometimes you go red and you have to walk away. Oh, what have I done? And sometimes you hear that small, still voice exactly as it's speaking to you. And you repeat what he's saying. You're obedient to what he's saying. And you see the world transformed in front of you. I have seen people so full of anger, hurt, and pain that they are literally screaming at the world around them, tearing it apart, hitting, screaming, and beating at it. And I've looked at these people and I thought, what do you do? I don't know what to say. I don't live your life. I don't know anything about you. What do you say? And believe me, at times like that, you pray. That is one of the times when your prayer is really sincere. And the prayer is very simple. It's one word. Help! And it is one of the most powerful prayers you can pray. And I have always, when I've prayed that prayer, received an answer. And I have never known whether that answer is what's going to help the person standing in front of me. But I have prayed it, how it will. And I have seen people who are violently kicking and screaming and smashing the place up turn like that and sink down in floods of tears. As all that emotion comes out and the healing process starts. That only happens if you're willing to take the risk, to take the chance. I could give you loads of scriptures that would prove to you that God won't let you down. His promises that he will never leave you or forsake you. He will never reject you. His love, he loves you with an everlasting love. All of that, but they're just words. Relationships aren't built on words. Relationships are built on actions. We build our relationships by spending time with each other, by talking to each other, by being with each other. By facing the world together. Words change nothing. What changes things is taking the chance. Stepping out with that leap of faith. I've left my notes somewhere back there about 15 minutes ago, so I've no idea where I am now. The teaching this morning is very simple. Seek his face. Take the chance. Be courageous. Trust him and leap off. I'm going to play a video now. This video is called A Man of God. You want to see it? Pull it up, Peter. This video is called Man of God. And to be honest, I watched this video through and I thought, not really what I'm looking for. What I was looking for was a video that depicted the relationship between God and man. That intimate relationship. I didn't know if one existed, but I thought, possibly, let's have a look. And then, after I watched this video, I suddenly thought, man of God, that makes him a mature child of God. A mature child of God is a reflection of who God is. So, when you watch this, think man reflecting God. This isn't just a man of God, a guy who goes to church. This is how God is with us. No full screen.
Children and wife, most of all, I hope they say I love Jesus more than life. And when I'm laid to rest, life's journey I have trod, I hope my children will say of me, Dad was a man of God. that they will remember me simply as a man of God, simply as a man of God. Gentle and kind, most of all I hope to leave a life of truth behind. So when I'm laid to rest, life's journey I have tried, I hope they say of me, here lies a man of God, here lies a man of God. Oh, to be a man of God, nothing more and nothing less, not what I did or did not do, but why I did it and for who. I hope that they will remember me simply as a man of God, simply as a man of God, simply as a man of God.
Is that how you see Jesus? Is that how you see Father God? Or is he Almighty Creator God, sitting in his throne room, ruling over all things visible and invisible? Seek his face. Seek his heart. God says, test me in this. See if I will not open up for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until there's no room for it all. A blessing until there is no room for it all. So much blessing that you can't contain anymore. In the scripture I first read you this morning, it spoke about Peter, it spoke about the apostles, it spoke about 500 people that were witnesses to Jesus' resurrection. Get to know your heavenly dad. Get to know him like that. Get to know him every moment of every day. Involve him in everything you do, everything you think, and everything you say. Because every person in this room is the witness to this generation that Jesus rose again on the third day, that he is and did everything God's word says he did. And we are the only witnesses there are. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we want to know you as we, in that way, Lord, as our dad. As a dad to play with us, as a dad to lead us, as a dad to guide us, as a dad to be with us, as a dad to love us. Lord, we want to go deeper with you. Lord, give us the courage, the boldness, Lord, to step out where you ask us to step out. To be the sons and daughters that you created us to be, Lord. To walk in the shoes that you've given us to walk in, Lord Jesus. Lord, that we might glorify your name. That we might share some of the grace, the love, the mercy that we've already received, Lord. Lord, that we might share some of it with the people alongside us, Lord. Lord, that as we walk in your kingdom, Lord, I ask that you pour that grace and love through us, Lord, into the dark world around us. Lord, help us to understand that by being who we are, we put a smile on your face. That we are acceptable. That we are loved. That we are wanted, Lord. And help us, Lord Jesus, to always walk forward with you and continue to put that smile on your face, Lord Jesus. Lord, we ask it in your holy name. Amen.
of greatest price.